Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And welcome to Saints and Sinners. This is your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken. Hello to all the listeners. Patrick there, Maureen, everyone that's listening. God bless everyone.
And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that has kept us on the air for over 40 years and allows Father and I to be here every Wednesday, or just about every Wednesday, at least for the next 2 weeks. Father's swan song will be next Wednesday after almost 11 and a half years of Saints and Sinners. Father's going to take a break, and we've got some hopefully exciting things lined up in 4 o'clock hour, beginning in September. But we'll make do for the next 2 Wednesdays, talking about a few saints in the calendar. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Reminder that our golf outing is coming up on Monday, October the 13th. We're headed back to Old York Road Country Club in Ambler, Pennsylvania. And it's always a great day. Kathleen always manages to get great weather. We'll have lunch and dinner on either side of a great round of golf. We're in need of sponsors, golfers, prizes for the silent auction. And all the details and how you can help can be found on our website at inhissign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, you'll see a link there to download the brochure. If you're interested in getting an email once a week with highlights from the Wednesday shows, along with links to the recordings, you can subscribe to my Substack account. That's notsaintsyet.substack.com. It is free if you choose to take the free subscription. We have a Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street. It's open on Tuesdays and Thursdays, beginning with daily mass that starts at 8:30. Closes usually between 4 and 4:30. We've got a new pastor at St. Gabriel's, Father Patrick Muka, and looking forward to working with him in doing some things with that shrine. I want to thank everybody that came out on Saturday to the Highway Theater in Jenkintown to see what we called the soft opening of our Matt Talbot film, Matt Talbot Urban Mystic. I think there was about 180 people on hand to see the film. And the premiere is going to take place on Friday evening, September 5th, at the Oaks Movie Theater. I believe it used to be a Regal. Now it's privately owned. If you'd like to get free tickets, we'll be taking a free will offering like we did on Saturday. But if you want to get tickets, go out to Eventbrite. And if you do a search on Matt Talbot, it'll come up. It is a public event, so if you search on Matt Talbot Urban Mystic even, it may come up with the Eventbrite link. If you need help, you can always reach me at Ken, K-E-N, at inhissign.com. That's Ken, K-E-N, at inhissign.com. Two retreats coming up this coming weekend, just 2 days away, is the Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Group out at Malvern. Monsignor McHenry, our host at 4 o'clock on Fridays, will be the retreat director this weekend. We got plenty of beds. It's not a recovery retreat, although more than half the guys are in recovery. It's a traditional men's Catholic retreat. And then for the women, Matt Talbot Women's Retreat, which is for women in recovery, will be September 19th to the 21st out at Malvern. Both these retreats you can register online at malvernretreat.com. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot, St. Maximian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Dominic.
Pray for us.
St. Sixtus and Companions and St. Lawrence.
Pray for us.
St. Pontius and Hippolytus.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Also, a reminder, I don't know if I mentioned it, but the shows on Wednesday are broadcast over Facebook Live, as are the shows all week long. If you go out to our Facebook page at In His Sign Catholic Radio, you'll be able to see me. Father's dialed in from Grace Ferry, but it's another option. It's also another option to look at the replays while they remain out there. I think after 30 days, Facebook may be taking them down, but you can watch it live and replay it a couple days after. We especially want your phone calls at the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we need your phone calls in order to make that happen. We are currently in the 19th week of Ordinary Time in our liturgical calendar, and we've got a full slate of saints again this week. Sunday the 10th, St. Lawrence Deacon and Martyr got bumped out. On Monday the 11th was St. Clair, Virgin. On Tuesday the 12th, yesterday, was St. Francis de Chantal, religious. Today we have two saints, St. Pontian, who was a pope, and St. Hippolytus, that was a priest, and both of them were martyrs. Tomorrow, a big one for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, St. Maximilian Kolbe, priest and martyr. And, of course, if you ever made the trip to the studio, well, the new door I don't think has it. The old door had the sign on there. Kolbe Communications. So this whole radio apostolate is put under his patronage. Friday the 15th, Holy Day of Obligation. You must get to Mass Thursday night or Friday, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And on Saturday the 16th, St. Stephen of Hungary. And we are going to opt to start with St. Dominic. As Father said last week. Sure. Go ahead, Father.
Yeah. Just before starting with St. Dominic, you said on Facebook they can see you, but they can't see me?
Nope. Because the camera's here, right? The camera's here in the studio.
But you know I'm here, but Jesus is with us too, and you can't see him. You're here too.
are you comparing yourself to Jesus?
Yeah, why not?
Why not is right.
He's my twin brother. Siamese twin.
Actually, Jesus is here. He's sitting in a chair over here. For those that are on Facebook, you can see him sitting in the chair here, at least a picture of him with his Sacred Heart.
There you go. Just can't see him, but he's here.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Yeah.
So, all right. St. Dominic. Born.
You know, Ken, the other thing I wanted to say was this, that we promised last week that we would pick up with St. John Vianney, if you remember, because we only got a few things in about him.
Oh, yeah.
And then Friday I was listening to the radio after Monsignor McHenry, and they put you and I on again on Friday, and here it was all about St. John Vianney. So I figured, well, we'll let John Vianney go and start with St. Dominic.
Yeah, well, just a plug for the podcast on the NSSign website. If you go to nssign.com and click on content and podcasts, you get all the recordings of the live shows. So if there's a particular saint that you might be looking for, that we probably talked about almost all of them over the course of the last 11 years, you can always go back and find one of those shows. All right, St. Dominic, born August the 8th in the year 1170, would die on August the 6th in 1221. So if you do the math, he was a couple days shy of his 51st birthday. He was born in Castile, Spain, and was trained for the priesthood by an uncle of his who was a priest, studied the arts and theology, and he would become a priest at the cathedral at Osma. And he would end up taking a journey through France with his bishop, and that's where he came face-to-face with the Albigensians, and there was a heresy that was going on where everything was either good or evil in the world. All matter they thought was evil, and only God was good. And it was interesting because I was reading Father where they even abstained from procreation, so they wouldn't have children, and ate very little food and drink. But Dominic felt that the church had to combat that heresy, and out of that he would start to preach against it and gather others around him that would do the same. And he ended up doing it for 10 years, and then finally in 1215 he would found a religious order at Toulouse, which was the beginning of the Order of Preachers, better known today as the Dominicans. Dominic's ideal and that of his order was to link a life with God, study, and prayer in all forms, and have a ministry of salvation to people by the word of God. And so he had this ideal where to pass on the fruits of contemplation, or to speak only of God or with God. Tall order, especially here in the 21st century, but something that St. Dominic set out to do when he founded the Dominicans. Again, this is back in the year 1215. Father?
Yeah, thanks, Ken. You go back to the mother. She couldn't conceive, so it's probably how he got his name. She made a pilgrimage to the monastery of St. Dominic of Silos, and probably that's where they got the name Dominic. But anyway, she was struggling to conceive, made the village, and then she has a dream before she conceives. And what her dream is, she dreams that a dog is emerging from her womb, a dog that ran around carrying a torch, setting the world on fire. So Dominic can be translated as the Lord's dog. So Dominic is the Lord's dog, a beautiful dream. But it all starts with that. The mother actually was beatified, and also a brother that followed him into the order was also beatified. So really a holy family. But yes, St. Dominic, he loved the poor, Ken, and sold everything, you know, even his books, just to help the poor. And everybody loved him. You know, I mean, that was said of him, that everybody loved him because he loved everybody. He was motivated by divine love. He was so, you know, close to that love, and that love of God flowed through him for everyone. And even when he fought against the Albigensians, they even denied the incarnation, Ken, because you know, Jesus, God would never take on material matter. And that was the early church, too, if you think about it, that the body was bad. You had to submit the body and wear hair shirts and whip yourself, you know, and put the body into submission. But then when you look at God becoming man, he takes on the flesh, and the flesh is good. The body's good, you know, the incarnation. But the Albigensians denied that. You know, they had like two gods. One was good and one was evil. And that they believed to escape the evil material world was to live a purely spiritual life, all spirit, nothing body. So Dominic, he fought against this heresy. And it's amazing, you know, when you think of Dominic, his tools were his arms. He would give instructions. He had patience. He would his tools was to do penance for them, to fast for them, and the tears. And he was so humble in trying to bring them around. He would debate, and then he would meet one-on-one and help the Yabajemsian to convert and come back to the true faith. But just a powerful saint, you know, Saint Dominic. And the order of preachers, that's the thing that he would, you know, the humility was. He, you know, they wanted to make him a bishop like two or three times, and he didn't want to do it. He wanted to live in the poverty of his brothers. And, you know, this strength, this love of God that he really got from the Eucharist. He didn't have a bed. He slept in the sanctuary by the tabernacle. And when it came time for him to die, they had to put him in somebody else's bed. I think it was Brother Matea, and that he would die in somebody else's bed. But this strength he received from the Eucharist, the love of God he received from the Eucharist, because he would contemplate this, you know, the Mass, you know, just seeing that love of God hanging on the cross, that outrageous love, Ken, that extravagant love. And that's what motivated him. It was always the divine love. And he would contemplate this. That's the only way you can really get to the cross and get to that present moment, which is frozen for us all, that the Mass goes on in each and every one of our hearts, that we're baptized into the mystical mystery, that we're rooted to the cross, we're Christed, we're christened, we're one with him. And that goes on in all of our hearts. And the saints knew that. And that was their contemplation, you know, come to the cross and see that love that the Father has for us, to let his son die that kind of death because of the love that the Father has for us. And Dominic would experience that love and receive that love and give that love to everybody, and everybody would love him. His face radiated with love and peace and joy. But one of the things with the Dominicans, that it was, you know, study and then reflect and then meditate and contemplate. And that was the whole thing with it. You know, you bring to others what you contemplate. And, you know, that's the motto he gave to the order that he founded. Bring to others what you contemplate. So it's beyond meditation where you reflect and we think and ponder over it. But then you sit and be still, and it's divine wisdom comes into the hearts. These spiritual delights that touches the hearts, not consolations from outside, but the delights that come directly from God himself, who animates our souls, and our souls animate our bodies, but contemplation. And the other thing, Ken, that really leading up to it, the Albigensianism, is when the Blessed Mother appeared to him and gave him the rosary to really conquer this heresy. And it was through the rosary, to pray the rosary, that the heresies and all heresies were really conquered. And the true faith would endure. But yeah, and the rosary, I often think about the saints and, you know, how much they love the rosary. And all the popes, Pope Pius VI said, the rosary is a summary of the gospel. Really, it fosters contemplation, he said. The prayer is really Christ-centered. Even if you look at the Hail Marys, it's Christ-centered. Hail Mary, full of grace, full of God. The very word of the middle of the Hail Mary, Jesus, pray for us, which is now and at the hour. Everything is centered there. And so when you pray the rosary, it really centers you. You know, it's beyond, you know, you start out with the words, of course, you know, you meditate, certainly. But then it comes a time where you just, you know, the words and the meditation is behind you, and you're just centered. And there's this peace comes over you. And this is the contemplative prayer that John Paul II talks about. He wrote that encyclical, the Most Holy Rosary. Not many get that title, the Most Holy Rosary. And he said, the rosary without contemplation is a body without a soul. And I love that when I take my special devotion with Our Lady of the Pillow and St. Mattress, hold my rosary and pray it. And I just, you know, the words and rest in it. And next thing you know, you're just with God, and God is with you. And that's where the infusion comes. That's where the love comes. That's where the experience of knowing him, not knowing about him, but that he touches us in so many beautiful ways as we go into that deep prayer. And that's what the rosary is all about, you know, to bring us into that deep prayer. You can do so much with the rosary. But yes, the Blessed Mother appears to Dominic and gives him the rosary. It's a chain, you know, it's a chain for that chains us right to the feet of Jesus, you know, Mary there at the foot of the cross. You know, and those beautiful, you know, new mysteries that John Paul II gives us, you know, those beautiful mysteries. It just, you know, the whole center there of the rosary now is the institution, you know, of the Holy Eucharist. And that's what it's all about, Ken, coming to the Eucharist, coming to Jesus and being filled with that mercy and transforming love of his.
Amen. And, you know, it was really the rosary that set me back on fire. I mentioned at the outset of the show the Friel retreat that's coming up this weekend, and I've made that retreat for the first time back in 1993, you know, and that was after getting back to the church because my daughter was making her sacraments and was enrolled in a Catholic school. But it was on that weekend where I watched, there were over 300 men on that retreat, and there was probably at least 100 out in the middle of the field holding this giant rosary bead and or giant rosary, each man on a bead. And I watched men pray the rosary devoutly and remember then praying the rosary when I was younger. And next thing you know, I was praying the rosary on a regular basis. It was myself and my good friend Paul Mathis and another fellow, Wayne. We actually called ourselves the Three Beads. We would go to first Saturday meeting down in Center City on the first Saturday of each month, where they would have Mass, and we'd be praying the rosary in the car on the way down. Everywhere we went, we prayed the rosary, and it's what led us to the Miraculous Medal Shrine probably soon after, back in 93-94, and it was just really instrumental in my life. And how many people have we, you know, learned from where either they prayed the rosary or somebody they knew did. That really shows in our film, Matt Talbot, Urban Mystic. In the litany, it talks about how not only Matt Talbot, but especially his mother, always had the rosary beads in her hand. And so just a great way to pray. You've taught many people other ways to use it, the gratitude rosary and the trusting rosary. And then, you know, watching some of the things that you've done with it, encouraged me to do some other things with it, and even came up with my own set of mysteries. So someday we'll have, there'll be 25. 20 is like a weird number. It should be, you know, 25, I think. And I came up with the Prevenient Mysteries, because I could never believe that the Immaculate Conception was not a mystery of the Rosary. So it was the Immaculate Conception, the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mary's life as a temple virgin, and then her betrothal to Joseph. I mean, I thought that should have been a mystery too. So I call them the Prevenient Mysteries. They're the mysteries that come before the 20 that we now have in our Catholic Church. But like you and many people I know, always got a, you know, either a rosary ring or a rosary set of rosaries in my pocket. You get stuck in traffic, it's a great opportunity to pull out the rosary and say a decade or two or three or maybe even a whole one, depending on how bad traffic is. And so I don't get upset in traffic anymore. I just look at it as an opportunity to pray additional rosaries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of rosary, the other rosary, Ken, Ari Pyle, I asked him to design that. And it starts out traditionally with the Creed, the Our Father, three Hail Marys, Our Father. And then I would go into a mystery. It could be just something that I read that day in the gospel where I'm putting myself into it. It could just be Jesus sleeping on the boat and calming the storm, and I could be there with my storms and just kind of meditate with that. But I asked Harry to give me 50 straight Hail Marys, no breaks. Because a lot of times I'm praying the Annunciation, and at 10 Hail Marys, and all of a sudden it's a glory be. I'm not ready to leave that. You know, I'm just warming up to that. And I don't want any breaks. So, you know, I'm meditating on that. You know, I'm saying the words. But then it's coming to that respite time where the Lord just takes me. So, you know, I do the 50 straight Hail Marys, and by the time I get to the end, I don't even remember anything else. It's just that it brought me into that deep prayer, that stillness, you know, that just pass on, you creatures. The Lord is my still. God to me suffices. And you're just one-on-one with God. That's what contemplation is, that he's infusing us with all the virtues and his love that conquers everything. So, yeah, you can do so much with the rosary. I even go around the rosary can just calling the saints to mind. I might look at the liturgical calendar and remember the saints and just ask each saint to pray for us. You know, St. John Newman, pray for us, you know, and just keep remembering all the different saints. And the rosary of gratitude, as you mentioned, just thinking on each bead, something that I'm grateful for until I'm finished the beads, you know. But, yeah, a lot with the rosary. But, you know, I think about Holy Family Home, too, and I always tell these stories. A woman came into the confessional, and she was holding her rosary beads, and she looked up at me. She said, Father, you know, I don't know why. I guess I'm getting older, but I just can't pray the rosary anymore. I can't finish it. But I feel like I'm holding the Blessed Mother's hand. I said, well, that's being a contemplative. I said, people can pray 15 rosaries a day and not have that experience of holding Mother Mary's hand and she's holding our hand. Because when we hold her hand, she's taking us right to her son. That's her mission, right to Jesus. And Jesus takes us to the Father, and she's the spouse of the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit does not act without her. But that rosary, and one other story I just have to tell about the rosary with Catherine Purnell, and she swallowed her rosary beads at the dinner table, and Huey McCabe came up to me and said, Father, Margaret swallowed her rosary beads. I said, you watched her? Well, Father, we're eating spaghettis, and I didn't know that she was going to swallow them. And I said, her chain rosaries? Yes, Father. So I went over and said, Margaret, did you swallow your rosary beads? She said, yes, Father, like a puppy dog. And I told Sister Alice, and we took her to Fitzgerald Mercy Hospital. They took an x-ray, and sure enough, and, you know, first I said, why did you swallow your rosary beads? She said, now I have Jesus right by my heart. They took the x-ray, Ken, and the rosary, the cross, was right by her heart. The doctor went down like fishing and hooked it and brought it up. And they put the x-ray on the wall and called it Our Lady of the Radiology Department. But, yeah, so much with the rosary. They love the rosary. You know. What do you see at the end in the casket? People holding their rosary beads and they hold them all their lives, you know. And that's what I want around my neck is in my miraculous medal and my rosary beads in my hand when my body's glorified and I come out, you know, my body's restored and my body comes out of the grave to be united to my spirit that's already with God in heaven. But, yeah, the power of the rosary, Ken, so powerful. Pray the rosary. Pray the rosary. That's our Blessed Mother's request there, you know. Lord Fatima, pray the rosary. It's powerful, the prayer.
Yeah.
Powerful.
Yeah, no, I had Rwanda too, the Seven Sorrows Rosary, which was one of my wife Susan's favorites and one I've been praying daily of late as part of an irresistible novena that's out there where you pray the Seven Sorrows Rosary combined with the Litany of Our Lady of Seven Sorrows. And brings about some good things. We're approaching the bottom of the hour. We want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back from the break. So I'll give out the phone numbers again. They are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or you can reach us toll-free, 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484. Got about a minute before we hit 4:30. Father, did you want to wrap up St. Dominic or end here?
Okay, yeah.
Go ahead.
Thanks, Ken.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, at the time when the rosary came, a lot of people didn't know how to read, you know. So that was like their prayer book, too, their scriptures. And one thing with St. Dominic was the scriptures was big with him, you know. He carried around Matthew and the epistle of Paul, and he practically had them memorized, you know, and the scriptures were so important there. It's the word of God, you know. You read the newspaper, right, and it informs you with bad news. But, you know, when you read the word of God, it transforms you with the good news. So scripture, you know, even the rosary, it's all rooted in the word of God. You know, the word of God is so powerful. So just a couple last things about Dominic. He said, arm yourself with prayer rather than a sword. and wear humility rather than fine clothes, you know. And this is all in with this, Ken. Our first business is our own sanctification. Where are we sanctified? Through the church, through the sacraments, through the scriptures, through the most holy rosary. We become holy, just like Mary is holy. Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we need your phone calls to have that Is That Odd or Is That God segment. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, Father Douglas McKay. And both phone lines are open, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll-free 888-343-2484. All the recordings of shows are live on our website at inhissign.com. Click on content and podcasts. All of them up until today's shows have been uploaded and available to listen there. Great way to let people know about us. If you want to hear a particular show that you enjoyed and you want to share it with somebody else, you can always go to the website and grab a link to the recording and pass it along. Quick rundown on the Calyx meetings here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Calyx is a great organization for Catholics and Christians that are in 12-step programs, AA, NA, Al-Anon, any of the so-called anonymous programs. Father McKay and I get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia at our Matt Talbot Chapel, which is at the corner of 29th and Dickinson across the street from St. Gabriel's Church, where we start with 6 o'clock adoration, followed by Mass, and then a Calyx meeting. On the third Tuesday of each month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church for a Matt Talbot Holy Hour and then Mass. I let folks on Saturday that attended the showing of Matt Talbot Urban Mystic. This is really a night for everybody. There's nobody today that I'm aware of that doesn't know somebody that either struggles with addiction or has been impacted by addiction within their family. So this is an evening to get together to pray for all those that addiction touches. We start at a holy hour at 6 o'clock from 6 to 7. We have prayers at the beginning and benediction at the end of the hour. In between, we'll have some music and confessions are heard. Usually have at least two, sometimes three priests on hand to hear confession. So the third Tuesday this month is next Tuesday. That's August the 19th. And again, everybody is more than welcome to come down and join us. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown is on a break for the summer. They'll be back in September. We'll announce it when they get going again. The unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media meets on the second Saturday of the month. They go to the 5 o'clock Vigil Mass and then have a Calyx meeting. And they just met this past Saturday, so their next meeting will be on Saturday, September the 13th. The Glenside unit at St. Luke's normally meets on the third Saturday of the month. Because most of the group will be on retreat this weekend out at Malvern. We usually don't have a meeting in August. We'll meet again on Saturday, September the 20th. And the unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And they will meet on Saturday, August the 30th. So, that's the rundown on Calyx. In the 5 o'clock hour today, I'm going to have two guests. At 5 o'clock, I'm be joined by Barbara Heil, who wrote a book entitled Journey Into His Heart, How the Holy Spirit Led Me Into the Catholic Church. And then Jamie McAleer will join us at 5:30 to talk about her book, I Will Come to You, A Story of Adoption and the Relentless Love of God. Jamie is also a convert to the faith, and she and her husband her husband's family, very involved in Krispy Kreme donuts. So by the end of the show, I'm sure everybody's going to want to run out and get a Krispy Kreme donut. So we got no callers, Father. Everybody must be on the beach or on the boardwalk. Yeah.
Well, maybe pick up and call. The Holy Spirit's prompting a few out there, Ken. I can see them. So I can see the finger getting on the dial now.
I got one.
Anyway. There you go.
Oh, it's our third.
Yeah, she's on vacation this week.
All right.
Action.
And we've got Frank. Hello, Frank.
Is this Ken Johnston?
Last time I checked, let me get my wallet out and make sure.
Okay. Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Can you verify the signature?
No. What's up, bud?
Is Ed McMahon, Father Doug next to you?
No, he's not next to me. He's 15 miles away in South Philly.
Hold on a second, Ken.
Alexa, mute.
Sorry about that.
You got a dog, huh?
What's that, Father?
Father thinks you have a dog named Alexa. It's
it'd be funny. Yeah, I did. Alexa be going crazy. Both of them be going crazy.
Yeah. So what's on your mind, bud?
Oh boy, a lot of things.
Pick two.
I have a question for both of you, and then one for Fire Doug. The one for both of you is: did either one of you really think more than, say, before March of 2020, did I be sober still, and I'd be listening to you guys every week religiously? I didn't.
Did you? Nope,
me neither. Ken, and Father Doug, I started going to AA in 2011. I did two a day, three a day, four a day. I tried, and I kept drinking again. I resolved the issue. I'm always going to be, I'll drink, I'll get sober. I'll drink, I'll get sober. I couldn't get more than ever 3 months and 3 weeks and 6 days. I could never get 4 months. I said, that's it. I said, well, it's better to be sober 40% of the time than drinking 100% of the time. And I wasn't happy with that, but I was like, better nothing. And then by chance one day, boom, listen to you guys. I started crying. Got the new brain. Boom, out of the blue, it just happened one day. It was a miracle. Yeah. And thank you guys for that. Thank you, Captain Lou.
Yeah, no, and thank God, because we're just instruments that God uses, hopefully, to get through to some people and let them know that there is a better way, whether they struggle with alcohol or life in general or what have you. That God loves each and every one of us, and you know His wishes for all of us that struggle with addiction to be clean or to be sober. And
again, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's right.
when I start, I was fine. I start bringing up my past, and I cry.
Well, that's a gift. Tears are a gift, right, Father?
Yeah, coming from inside.
That's but the question I got to you, Father Doug, I don't think I raised. If I did, it was a while ago, and I forgot your answer. Since the 90s, it was awful on back then, but I know since, like, 2009, it's pretty much every day. It's not every day. I just forgot to do it one day. I pray to God that he takes me. I say, let it be in my sleep. I say, I'm tired of living the way I'm living with all my health problems. I'm sober now, but with all my health problems, I'm not getting better. I'm getting worse. I had the results of my scans for my cancer. I missed the last 2 years. I got the results back on Monday. I'm picture perfect. There's no sign of any kind of cancer. Everything was good. And I don't want that to take me out. I want to go in my sleep. So I was a little nervous about that one. But is it okay, Father, to ask God to take you?
I think it's okay, but you have to say, thy will be done and not my will be done. You know, always
leave
that to God.
Like,
you
want to
go in your sleep. Say, Lord, take me in my sleep, but not my will, your will, because he wants to do the best for you, Frank. And I wanted to go back to something you said, about like AA. AA is just, God brings us to AA. AA brings us to God. And a lot of people get stuck with AA. They make all kinds of meetings. They become drive drunks. AA is not enough. In the doctor opinion, in the big book, Dr. Silkworth said, all the thousands and thousands, 10,000 people that alcoholics he worked with, they were all doomed unless they had the spiritual dimension. You know, AA has to bring us to God, to our, as Catholics, Jesus is not the higher power, and he's not the highest power. He's the only power. You know, I am the vine, and you're the branch, and apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. We live in him. We move in him. When I'm weak, I become strong. Anything good is coming from him through us. But, we share in that goodness of God. He lets us cooperate with that. He makes us one with him. And I can be patient. I can be kind. I can be loving. I can be sober. I can be sanctified by the grace of God. So,
hey, Father Doug.
I hear what you're saying. But remember in the agony in the garden where Jesus wanted out, right? Take this cup from me, Father, but not my will, your will be done. It's in his will I find my peace and joy, and it's the very best that's going to happen to me. I'm not afraid of God's will. I'm afraid of my will. But, yeah, it's okay to ask God to take you in your sleep, but thy will be done, Lord. Because that's what we're all coming to. And all those pains you're suffering, cancer, they're birth pains to eternal life. When we're there and, when the little baby comes into the arms of the mother even forgets her pain. When we come home to God and in the arms of our Father, everything that we went through is a drop in the ocean compared to what we're going to receive, that the eye hasn't seen, the ear hasn't heard, all these glories that are in store for us. So embrace the cross now, Frank, and see that cross as something beautiful. If we knew the values that came from our crosses, we would run for it, not away from it. So keep praying for that inner strength, Frank, that's not your own, and that grace that keeps us faithful on the journey home to God.
And Father Doug, you said something about the disease. Lou told me about that. That's when it started kicking in. He says, you can't do it just by one thing, meaning it gets over. It's a disease of the mind, the body, and soul, because you have to go to church every day, exercise every day, go to meetings every day. And then a couple of things he said, I forgot. And that's what started helping me. Didn't help right away. I still kept failing. But eventually, between that, you guys, and what else? Oh, stuff on the radio. Spiritual stuff, not music, the spiritual stuff. It all just kicked in.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And
thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, now, and you're a witness, too, because we hear from you every Wednesday, brother. So thanks again for the call.
You guys are saying, I wish this guy would just...
No, it's all, it's all good, brother. All good.
Thanks again.
All right.
Have a good one.
You too.
All right, Frank.
Bye-bye.
God bless you.
All right, and we got Bob we're going to go to. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Ken. Long time no see.
Yeah, you think?
I wish that I had an actual odd or God, but I'm odd, so I need God. Do you remember the time that I left my van running downstairs, during Calyx? So the whole 2 hours of the Calyx meeting upstairs across the street, my van was downstairs with the engine running. And nobody took it, and that was odd. But Today, I almost couldn't. I'm parked in front of 3535 Market Street. I'm picking up my daughter, but I almost couldn't find my keys. But I always have, because I have a bad memory, I have multiple sets of keys. So I just took the extra keys, and I'm heading for the Walt Whitman Bridge, and I hear this sound. Boom, 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 boom. The keys are sticking out of my passenger door.
Man, oh, man.
You know, God takes care of me. My father, I think he used to say, God takes care of fools and children.
Amen.
I'm not a child anymore, so I guess that puts me in the other category.
Very good.
I did want to say one quick thing about the rosary is when Pope John Paul II instituted the Luminous Mysteries, I go, oh, come on, what is this? You know, how can you improve on the I love the Luminous Mysteries. I love the Luminous Mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, wow, I really, really like them. And I, you know, the institution of the Eucharist at the end is perfect because it comes at the end, but I love the wedding feast at Cana, not for the miracle, but for the other miracle, the miracle that Jesus is Almighty God. Everybody and everything in the universe obeys him, but he obeys his mother. You know, do whatever he tells you.
Amen.
I just love that when Jesus, I wish I was there and I had seen the look that she gave him. Son, they have no wine.
Yeah.
And what is that to me? Just do whatever he tells you.
Amen.
I'll let you go.
All right, Bob. Always good to hear from you, brother. Thanks for the call.
All right. Take care.
I was thinking, Ken, to the Luminous Mysteries. I call them my surrender mysteries. You know, if I can remember them. The first one, right, the baptism. And where John is coming to baptize Jesus, and he doesn't want to do it. And Jesus says his very first words, give in for now. Surrender, John. Do my will. And the second one, the marriage feast at Cana, was like the Blessed Mother there, you know, do whatever he tells you, you know, don't do, you know, do what God wants, surrender. And of course, the third one, you can put anyone in there, the proclamation of the kingdom. And the fourth one, climbing the mountain, Ken, going up the mountain there. This is my beloved son, listen to him, do what he says, not what you want, surrender. And the institution of the Eucharist, take this, eat this, do this, do what I'm telling you, surrender to my words, you know, so I like to call the Luminous Mysteries my surrender mysteries.
Amen. All right, we do have another caller on the line. Father, we're going to go to Angelo. Hello, Angelo.
Hey, Ken.
How you doing, pal?
Good. The other God I had was on the Feast of the Transfiguration. Earlier that day, I think I was at work, I wound up saying a prayer for the Feast of the Transfiguration. And then what I like to do is on the days I can, open the Bible at random and read the passage that I my eyes first catch, and it happened to be the Transfiguration story on the Feast of the Transfiguration, and that really kind of satisfied me because I felt like just praying the prayer hadn't been quite enough for what I wanted to do. But thinking about it, there was a couple of things about that gospel story that I always wanted to know more about. Like, number one, Peter asked the Lord, he says, it's good that we're here. Should we build a tent for you, for Moses, and for Elijah? I always wondered what the significance of that was. And also, it also says that Jesus was conversing with Moses and Elijah. And I always wondered what they were talking about. And I'll leave it at that and give it back to you guys.
Okay. Angelo, that's a good question. You know, the three tents, you know, they were in the glory, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And when you build a tent, you don't want to leave. You know, let's stay here. You know, that's what I got out of it. Let us build three tents that we can camp out here and stay here. Let this go on and on and on and not end, you know. But I was, you know, laughing when you were talking about how you open the Bible and you put your finger somewhere, and right away the Transfiguration comes up. And I sometimes call it the Bible roulette. And, I was talking about a priest one time. He opened the Bible and put his finger in a particular thing, and it said, I don't know. Do the same. I'm lost in thought here. he put his finger on the passage, and it said, Peter, Judas went out and hung himself. So he shut the book real quick, and they opened it up again, put his finger on the page, and it said, go and do the same. So sometimes it doesn't always work. But I did that, and this was really powerful for me, because like you, you got a beautiful message from God on the Transfiguration. And I opened up the Bible, and I put my finger on Sirach 24:18. And Sirach 24:18 says this, come to me, all you who yearn for me, and be filled with my fruits. And so it was a connection with 11:28 of Matthew. Come to me, all you who find life weary, and I will refresh you. And there it was like, all you who yearn for me, be filled with my fruits. Come to me. We know where he's at. He's there in the Eucharist. All the blessings, all the graces, all the fruits right there from his sacred heart. Just come to me. You're hungry? I'll satisfy your hunger. Are you thirsty? I'll quench your thirst. Just come to me and be filled with my fruits. But thank you, Angelo. But that's where I got the tense from, that sometimes when you have that moment, you know, where you open the Bible and you're right there, and all of a sudden it's such peace. You're like, you're transcendent. It's all a form of contemplation. You're with God and God's with you, and you don't want that to end, but it does. But we're infused with grace, and we can go into the world with that new vigor, that new strength, those graces that makes us even better than we were before. So, yeah, and we always have those many transfigurations. God's always touching us. That's why we call them odd or God experiences, because he's always touching us with his presence. Live in the moment, because that's where he's at, always in the moment. Yeah. Thank you, Angelo.
Yeah, the one other thing I would add, Father, is that it's funny. You learn new things, and after all these years, it was around the Feast of Transfiguration. I was reading a commentary that said that it may have that the Transfiguration may have occurred during the Feast of Booths, which when the Jewish would celebrate that, they would actually build temporary shelters or tents. So it may have been Peter's natural response, because it may have been in that, because it's a 7-day feast, that if they have been building tents for themselves, that they may have that's why he may have offered to build tents for Elijah and Moses. Yeah. Anyway, Angelo, thanks for the call and the questions, pal. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you.
Same here. Have a good one, guys.
Yep, you too.
God bless, Angelo.
And we've got a rare one here on the line, Father. You'll know as soon as you hear the voice. Go ahead and say something.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi, Tammy.
Hey, Butch. How are you, brother?
Butchie.
Good. Hi, Father.
Hi, Butch.
It's good listening today. I finally had a chance to sit here and listen since 4:11, and the story you guys were talking about, and the Dominic, that he loved everybody. You know, I'm just saying, on my end, I pretty much love everybody. Of course, sometimes people get on my nerves, but I want the best for everybody. You know what I mean? It's the way it should be, I think. I don't know, but I'm glad I got through. Glad I got to listen to you guys. I miss about the first 10 minutes. But I love you guys. Keep doing what yous are doing, you know. And hopefully I'll see you guys tomorrow, Friday.
Sounds good, Butch. Always good to hear from you, brother.
Yeah, of course I can't remember odd or God experience, but I have them every week. If not one, I have two, three, you know, but my memory, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think in our case, Butch, they happen so often that we don't think about them as being odd anymore. You know, yeah. It's just part of the flow, which is a great thing, you know.
I agree, but I always say real loud, is that odd or is that not the people? I don't know. I say it and then I forget.
Yeah. No problem, but, pal.
Yeah, I love you guys. Keep doing what you are doing, and I'll see you guys soon.
All right, look forward to it, brother. Be good.
Yeah, Tommy, bye,
hey,
Father.
Hey,
bye,
hey, Butch.
Yeah.
Hold on a second, Butch. I wanted to respond to your call-in about you. You quoted St. Dominic, where he said that everybody loved him because he loved everybody. And Yeah, we're called to love even our enemy, you know, to pray for our persecutors. This is a commandment. And then when I'm not loving, there's bitterness and darkness in my heart and misery. So, you know, what I love is that image and likeness that God loves in that person. That old cliche, you know, it was, love the sinner and hate the sin. I don't even like the word hate, so I say love the sinner and despise their sins. So, you know, it's not that I'm approving, you know, bad behavior or sinfulness, but I love them. I love them for who they are, and God loves us for who we are, not so much what we do, but who we are, you know, that love. But, yeah, St. Dominic, he loved everybody because, you know, he loved everybody because everybody loved him. You know? So thanks for that call, Butch. Keep loving.
Thank you, guys.
All right, brother. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Well, we got 3 minutes, Father.
Yeah, I guess we better not start that. Okay. But, yeah, you know, I talked about my otter God, about going back to Malvern and discerning that and praying over that and coming back with that, you know, different terms that just let me do what I'm ordained to do, hear confessions, and, you know, celebrate the Mass, give blessings out. And I was trying to, you know, Lord, am I making the right decision in discerning this? And I said to God, and I really shouldn't ask for signs, but I said, I would love to see a dime. I'd love to see a dime. So within 24 hours, I'm going to Wawa in the morning. And it's amazing how I was just moved to this dime. First of all, I'm trying to get up to a closer so I don't have to walk so far in the Wawa. And then this truck cuts me out and there's a space next to it, which I really don't, but I take that space. And as I get out of the car, there's a dime. And there's the sign, you know, that I made the right decision. So I go in the Wawa. They don't have my croissants. It's packed. It's crowded there. And so I leave, and I go to Dunkin' Donuts. But I was meant to find that dime. And then I come home, and on my bed, Ken, is a dime. It was like two dimes. And those who may not understand the dime was Joe Kahl used to sweep his bar and find dimes all the time. He would find dimes all the time. And when he was making his holy hour, I think it was 1 to 2 o'clock in the morning there, he was going to stop. And then as he got up, he saw a dime. And he said, the dime is always a sign of God's presence, that God is saying, I got your back. I am with you always through it all. So, you know, look for the dimes, listeners, because they pop up all the time. And when you find it, your heart will burn within you and you'll have that experience that God got your back and everything's going to be okay. So they were my two, Ken.
Yeah.
Did you have an otter God?
I had a stretch there about a week and a half ago where there was about six of them in the course of about 24 hours. And it just happened to be somebody that I was talking to. And it was one thing after another that we had in common or people that we knew. It was really kind of crazy. But on the dime thing, there's been a number of times over the last month, and again, because they've become routine, I don't really hone in on any one of them. But, you know, doing the laundry last week, and I can hear something going around in the dryer, and it's driving you crazy, and you open up the dryer, and mm-hmm. there's, you know, somebody left a dime in their pocket. And it's like, really? And then... you know, it's those simple things, and most importantly, they're just reminders that that God is always with us. You know, and even those times where we're not thinking about Him or praying or anything related to God, which in our case I think anymore is rare, but in those moments where those dimes show up, it's just a you know, a subtle reminder, sometimes a head over the head reminder. That God's right there. You got 30 seconds, Father. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Okay. Name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
God, our Father, we praise and thank you for all the blessings, for the gift of life, the promise of eternal life, but for giving us your Son, who tells us really that we belong to you and we're coming home to you. And so bless us with this journey, remove our fears, and deepen our trust in you. And let us experience those graces that come from the heart of your Son, through the Immaculata at that foot of the cross, and just inundate us with that hope, faith, and love that we have for you. And bless us all real good. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless everyone, Ken. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Father. For our listeners, don't go away. We've got another hour to go, and our first guest, Barbara Heil, is already on the line. We'll have her on as soon as we come back from the break. Don't go.